Except for reading the paper, because these laws that are being passed today do affect you.
Right. If you choose to remain in this environment, then you will have a vulnerability to the state. But that vulnerability can be minimized many times more than I think most people realize. That the question is not how bad is the state, or how wrong is it, or how immoral is it, because it is there and it exists. The question is, what can I do to minimize that vulnerability so that all of these things that are going on, like what was on the television tonight and so forth, does not have to affect me so directly, so that I am not laying awake tonight wondering what the income tax collector is going to decide in my case tomorrow morning, and whether or not he's going to throw me completely out of business because he has the power to do so, because I have arranged my affairs in such a way that he can. I will deal with this more in session 5 when we discuss the nature of freedom and what is realistically possible to expect. But for the moment, let me say that coercion exists. It is a part of the reality that is there. The government exists. It is part of the reality that is there. To act as if it isn't there by saying it shouldn't be there is beside the point as to what I will do now that it does exist. The question is that it does exist. How can I remove my vulnerability to the nth degree? And this is the what I should be preoccupied with, rather than complaining about it. Tom Sanders has defined what he calls the libertarian syndrome. If we had a free market, I would be a great architect. And I would probably have made $1 million. But since we don't have a free market, I will not sanction the state by working and paying income tax and so forth. Therefore, I will do nothing. And that's why you see me as a hopeless bum. And this is all well and good as long as the individual realizes that the only one who cares really is him. That nobody else really cares why he's a hopeless bum. That's his business and his matter. So the point is that quit trying to justify your position or the immoral position of the state. Certainly there is a reason for understanding the nature of the state and realizing what the state is and what it does. And we'll touch upon that in session 5. But it cannot be an excuse for your own unprofitability. That simply means that you are not directing your actions in such a way to make sure your life is as profitable as possible, given the premise that the state exists, which it does. If the state doesn't exist someday, then there'll be other premises upon which to base your actions. Yes.
I have a question just before intermission. You made a statement, something to this effect. I don't believe there is any moral code that would apply to all. Did I get that right, or did you say it that way?
Yes, it's substantially what I said, that I do not believe there happens to be one moral code that would work profitably for any individual in the world who chose to accept it, although this has been stated by many people that there is such a thing. Let me give you just an example to illustrate what I mean when I say that, not necessarily to prove it. Suppose an individual has got 15 days to live because he's dying of terminal cancer or something. He has lived his life by a code of conduct differently from yours all of his life and so forth, and now comes the last stages of his life, the last few days that are left. He may decide as a result of what he has come to believe gives him happiness in life that the best thing to do now would be to steal the resources he wants to satisfy himself for the remaining days, to act in a way that will give him the happiness he seeks based on his knowledge of what brings happiness in the world and so forth, and act in that way to satisfy himself for the few days he has left. Now, I have a different idea about what brings happiness, meaning what brings happiness to me. Suppose I have the capability of imposing my code upon him 15 days before the end. The only way we can do it for purposes of this example is to say that somehow I was able to force him to abide by my code. Even if it didn't require coercion or force, the fact of the matter is that he would be reorganizing his entire life and having to live in circumstances as they are by a code that he was not comfortable with, that his framework did not act to produce well-being in him, and perhaps someday he would if he had the time to develop this new way of life. 6 months from now, a year from now, he might come to accept things much the way I do, and in which case he would want to do things differently from what he has done in the past. But at this particular point in his life, what basis do I have to say to him that the consequences of his acts will be bad to him? By the time the consequences that I think would take place accrue, he will have been dead and it will no longer be important to him, unless, of course, he believes in a hereafter, in which case he may be basing his decision on that. But the point I'm getting at is that I cannot just, in a blanket, absolute way, say that anybody who lives by the code I have determined is the best one is bound to get more happiness for themselves. They might and they might not, But it will take a while to rearrange their lives because they are getting happiness in certain ways from certain things now.